This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:15. It's Caroline and Ezra on the evening edition. We're going to take a look at, the Sungai Kandis by-election. The low voter turnout, 49.4% as opposed to 85.6% in the May polls. A lot has been said about how it could be due to political lethargy among voters, but also an indication of a silent protest at the Pakatan Harapan government.
Yeah, so I think it's two separate points of view there. You have the Bersatu Deputy President Mukhlis Mahathir saying that the low turnout could be due to political fatigue. UM's Awang Azman Awang Pawi saying that many could be frustrated with what they feel is a lack of seriousness on the part of the ruling politicians over their election promises. He went on to say that Pakatan Harapan had vowed to implement 10 promises from its manifesto 100 days into power, but only two have been fulfilled so far.
And just to recap, the Sungai Kandis by-election, the winner was PKR candidate Usazawawi, and he garnered 15,427 votes in a three-cornered fight. That was against Lokman Nur Adam of BN, as well as independent candidate K. Murthy. We're now crossing over to independent pollster Ibrahim Sufyan. He's the program director of Merdeka Centre. Ben, good to have you on the program. Tell us, how significant are these by-election turnout numbers?
Well, I think at this point in time, it is only significant in the sense that when you compare that to the historical record, the recent by-election in Sungai Kandis was very, very low, just about 50% turnout. It is, in many ways, I wouldn't say historical, but interesting, because it does show that Malaysians do get fatigued by politics.
Right, Ben, are voter turnouts generally lower in by-elections, and is it fair a fair comparison to contrast it against the numbers for the general elections like we had in May, as people have been doing in the news?
Well, it's not a fair comparison. The reason is that historically, by-elections tend to record lower than the general election turnout numbers. And typically, the turnout during by-elections tend to be anywhere between 5 to 15% lower than what was recorded in a general election. However, we do have to say something about general elections. I think in the last two general elections, the turnout of voters have been exceedingly high, in excess of 80%. And that is as high as in some countries where voting is compulsory. But I think what sets the Sungai Kandis by-election apart is that at 50%, it is by far the lowest ever. And as I recall, it's even lower than one by-election in Kuala Berang in Terengganu many years ago, where there was a boycott by PAS. But even then, I think the turnout was around 55%. So this one was exceptionally low.
Ben, as we mentioned, some of the reasons cited as to why the numbers were lower included, A, political lethargy, and B, a silent protest against the Pakatan Harapan government. What are your thoughts about this? Do you agree?
Well, I think in this particular election, it is not a protest against the Pakatan Harapan government. I think what we've seen in many elections over the last 20 years is that when voters are unhappy with either an incumbent candidate or the incumbent government, they tend to come out in large numbers to try and vote them out. We saw this in the 2008, 2013, 2018 elections where turnout was very high. However, I think in this particular instance, it is largely voter apathy coming by-election coming so close after the general election. And number two, I think it's also a lower turnout because some supporters of the Islamic Party PAS may have decided to opt out because they didn't like to choose any of the two candidates that were presenting themselves in this by-election.
Right. Ben, how do you measure when a silent protest is happening anyway?
Well, I mean, the word protest implies some kind of action that denotes dissatisfaction with the current state of affairs. If there were to be a silent protest amongst voters in a particular situation, they would not come out to vote. I think in the case of Sungai Kandis, there was a silent protest. But it is not a silent protest against the incumbent Selangor state government, but rather a silent protest by PAS members towards their own party leadership. Because in the 2 weeks leading to the election day, senior PAS leaders at the national level recommended or exhorted their members to vote for the Barisan National candidate. And I think this, in many ways, resulted in the depressed turnout. We noticed that in the general election, PAS received about 7,500 votes from the voters of Sungai Kandis. It is very likely that many of these people didn't show up to vote last Saturday, and that in many ways constitutes the silent protest. So not against the PH state government, but against past leaders who wanted their voters to support candidates offered by their long-term opponent from UMNO.
Ben, you know, by-elections have been viewed as perhaps less important than general elections in terms of determining the direction of the country. What do you think? How should voters think of by-elections?
Well, by-elections can serve as a signal to those in power and those who are challenging the incumbent government. We've seen in situations in the past where voters have used by-elections to send a very clear signal towards those in power. You know, many people may not recall, but in the year 2000, there was a small by-election in the state constituency of Lunas in Kedah. And this comes after the 1999 general election where Dr. Mahathir criticized Chinese NGOs for wanting certain reforms to be done. And at that point in time, the Chinese voters in Lunas came out in large numbers and basically handed the Barisan Nasional defeat there. So voters, I think, should look at by-elections as a means of sending signal to those in power. And generally, they have done so in many instances. In the last 5 years, we've seen by-elections happen in Sungai Besar, Kuala Kangsar, where multi-corner contests prevailed and it allowed Barisan Nasional to cling on to power.
Okay, Ben, so what do you think it says that Pakatan Harapan won? And are we still in the Tolak BN mood?
Yes, I think it is. If you look at the overall numbers, I mean, there are two, I think, interesting ways of looking at this by-election. Number one, yes, the depressed turnout, only 50% of the people showed up to vote, but we have a number of reasons why they decided not to go out. But for those who went out to vote, then we think that this represents people who are motivated to support Barisan Nasional or Pakatan Harapan. It's very clear that from the numbers, the Pakatan Harapan numbers are not bad at all, because in the general election, they attained something like 57% of the popular vote in a three-way contest. But in this by-election, they attained 61% of the popular vote in a two-way contest. So although the aggregate numbers are lower, the percentages for Pakatan is actually much better than in the general election, which notes that their support levels are intact despite the depressed turnout. And we analyzed some of the polling districts in Sungai Kandis. We estimate that the Pakatan Harapan support amongst Malay voters either stayed steady or improved a little bit in some areas.
Ben, thank you very much for joining us on the program and for that analysis. That was Ibrahim Sufian, a program director at the Merdeka Center. We've got our regular caller on the line, Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good evening. How are you two?
We're doing okay. What are your thoughts about the Sungai Kandis voter turnout, or just any thoughts you might have on that?
If voters don't want to come out and vote, how are you going to stop them?
From not coming out to vote? How are you going to stop them from not voting, you mean?
Yeah. How are you going to make them? Because after all, I mean, this voting is not compulsory in our country.
Not yet.
So I think what is important is even with the cooperation between these past and BN, I think Pakatan still win. I think to me, that is the most important thing. The rest is just speculation. It's just like this every day, Dow Jones go up and down, and then the headline will put some reason to it, saying that, oh, the fear of the trade war make the stock market go down. But actually, there are so many stock market players. How do you know? I mean, what is the factors influencing each and every one of us? I mean, this is about the only time the call for non-speculation serves any useful purpose.
All right,
Victor,
thank you.
Always good food for thought.
Take that, market analysts.
All right, I've got some music right now by Hoodoo Gurus. What's My Scene? It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.